RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You can also listen to our broadcast every day on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz, and 11785 kHz. Or listen to audio on demand at en.voi.co.id. Hello listener, welcome back to English Bulletin over RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. In today's edition, we'll present to you our program summary for today. First, we'll bring you our news, followed by commentary, today in history, and focus news in brief. We'll continue our next program with Indonesian Wonder and Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia. We'll conclude our program for today with Music Corner. Stand by now for the news.
Voice of Indonesia with the news.
Here is the news, first the headlines. Britain support Papua to remain within the Unitary State of Republic of Indonesia NKRI framework. Indonesia promote Islamic finance in the World Islamic Economic Forum. Now the news in detail. British Ambassador to Indonesia Muazzam Malik has expressed support to Papua Province to remain within the framework of the Unitary State of the Republic of Indonesia NKRI. Malik remarked in a special interview with Antara News Agency on Tuesday, November 21, in Jakarta, that the policy of the British government is very clear, that the British people support the unity of Indonesia, and Papua is absolutely a part of the NKRI, so there is no debate over it. Ambassador Muazzam Malik noted that, being within the framework of the NKRI, the Papuan indigenous people are entitled to the same services as Indonesian citizens in other part of the country. She remarked, education and health services or opportunities in the economy must be tailored to their aspirations as well. In the framework of NKRI, the aspirations of indigenous Papuans should be heard, respected, and fulfilled, as this is the responsibility of the central and regional governments. Ambassador Muazzam Malik noted that Britain feels President Joko Widodo is very conscious and committed to advancing the future of Papua, as he visits the land of Cendrawasih more often than the previous heads of state. The 13th World Islamic Economic Forum, WIEF, on Tuesday, November 21, at the Borneo Convention Center, Kuching, Sarawak, Malaysia, produced 16 memorandum of understandings worth around $2.5 billion. The value has made the event, with 2,500 participants, including world leaders and industry players, became one of the largest in history. The agreement, among others, came from organizations in the field of technology, halal food, and energy sector. In the last 5 years, WIEF has facilitated trade agreements with a total of around $13 billion from various industry sectors as well as between Muslim and non-Muslim countries. The representative of Indonesia, Minister of National Development Planning, Bambang Brojonegoro, said Indonesia utilized the potential of Islamic finance to support national economic development.
To accelerate economic growth in the middle of numerous global challenges, it is vital for economies to constantly search for new area of growth. There is rapidly increased interest in Islamic finance from countries with a Muslim majority population, as well as international financial hubs. Not only it is receiving more recognition as a model for ethical, socially responsible, and sustainable investment, Islamic finance is seen as a more secure approach for the world's financial system. As the country with the biggest Muslim population, it would be natural for Indonesia to utilize the potential of Islamic finance to support national economic development.
The World Islamic Economic Forum, WEIF, is expected to be the world-class business platform featuring business opportunities in the Muslim world. WEIF meetings have been held in Indonesia, Kazakhstan, Kuwait, Pakistan, Britain, and the United Arab Emirates. The forum aims at strengthening partnerships and exchange of knowledge among Muslim and non-Muslim communities worldwide through the same business language. Climate change has been an international issue that must be addressed continuously. It can give effect for the damage of environmental structure, which creates bad effect for social life of human beings, including in Indonesia. It was said by head of the Institution of Environmental Breeding and Resources, Indonesia Ulama Council, Hayu Prabowo, to media on the sidelines of workshop about bringing forward responsibility and leadership for biodiversity conservation in Jakarta recently.
Karena lingkungan hidup nantinya itu akan mengefek pada kerusakan sosial.
Environment will affect on the social damage, then becomes political issue. When the sea level rises, people who live across the coastal areas will sink and they will move to the higher places. So the climate change or environmental issue will become the political and national resilience issues. It is not important thing or not, but it is livelihood issue. Meanwhile, head of Islamic Teaching Center, the University of Nasional, Fahruddin Mangunjaya, explained the importance of increasing awareness for Indonesian people to concern on the environment. He said public figures can be a role model for people to concern on their environments respectively. Indonesian Industry Ministry is confident that the furniture and crafts sectors can grow and expand in the next 2 years. The ministry is even targeting an export value of $2 billion next year. The ministry's Director General of Small and Medium Enterprises, Gativi Baningsih, said in a written statement on Tuesday that this year's export from the two sectors reached $1.06 billion. By 2019, the ministry hoped the value could go up to $2.5 billion. Gati said there are more than 150 small and medium furniture and crafts industries in the city with products that can compete overseas. Their products have reached markets in the United States, Europe, and the Middle East. Meanwhile, Adhidharma Santoso, chairman of the Indonesian Furniture and Handicraft Industry Association, said that Central Java's furniture and handicraft industry contributes an average of $700 million per year. Among Southeast Asian countries, Indonesia currently ranks the fifth position in furniture and handicrafts export behind Vietnam, Malaysia, and Singapore. Some of the problems hampering the effort are the availability of raw material supply, overlapping regulations, the declining number of craftsmen, and lack of promotion. This news comes to you from RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. Malaysia plans to import chickens and ducks from Indonesia, following a visit by Indonesian delegates. Animal Farm Board Secretary General Adi Zulkarnain told reporters on Tuesday, November 21, in Jakarta, that a trade mission by the Agriculture Ministry to Malaysia on Monday, November 20, in Putrajaya, Malaysia, over to sell Malaysia livestock, including chickens and ducks from micro, small and medium-sized farms in Indonesia. The Malaysian government agreed with the offer, so the private importers are expected to start buying in the first quarter of next year. Representatives of the Malaysian government will inspect chicken and duck farming practices to ensure it is managed based on good breeding practices and complies with the World Organization for Animal Health Standard. Some farms in Bogor and Purwakarta in West Java have been certified as free from avian influenza by the Indonesian government. Malaysia needs at least 30,000-day-old chicks monthly and 10,000-day-old laying ducks monthly. The Volcanology and Geological Disaster Mitigation Agency on Tuesday, November 21, report that Mount Agung in Karangasem, Bali erupted at 17:15 Central Indonesia Time, OWITA. The National Disaster Mitigation Agency, BNPB, said that the blast at Mount Agung was a phreatic eruption due or steam blast eruption. BNPB spokesman Sutopo Purwonugroho told in a phone interview on Tuesday evening that water vapor was formed concurrently as underground water or rainwater that infiltrates into the ground was heating up in the crater and had direct contact with the magma. A phreatic eruption is accompanied by smoke, ash, and materials from the crater. Sutopo said that a phreatic eruption is hard to predict as it often occurs suddenly and shows no sign of increase in frequency of seismic activity. A phreatic eruption is not uncommon if the mount stages is set above normal. Mount Agung phreatic eruption may also lead to a much larger eruption, as happened on Mount Sinabung in North Sumatra, that saw phreatic eruptions between 2010 and 2013 before a magmatic eruption occurred. Sutopo added that a magmatic eruption is a more dangerous eruption caused by magma explosion. A magmatic eruption has signs measured and can be observed when an eruption is imminent. The last item. Low-cost airline AirAsia is opening two international routes from Singapore to Medan and Padang, respectively. The new round-trip flights will be available on February 9, 2018. AirAsia Indonesia Commercial Director Rifai Tabri recently told that he is interested in opening new routes in Tourism Ministry's 10 priority destinations. The company is currently assessing Silangit, Padang, Belitung, Labuan Bajo, and Raja Ampat. Each of these routes will have 7 flights in a week, or 1 flight per day, using Airbus A320 that has the capacity of 180 seats. The flight time from Medan to Singapore will be at 5:50 a.m. and arrive at 8:15 a.m., while the flight from Singapore to Medan will be at 12:30 p.m. and arrive at 1 p.m. For Padang-Singapore route, the plane will depart at 9:40 a.m. from Padang and arrive in Singapore at 11:55 a.m. With the new international routes, AirAsia will have 7 routes that connect Singapore and Indonesia. For domestic flights, AirAsia currently travels to and from Jakarta, Bandung, Semarang, Yogyakarta, and Denpasar, Bali. To end the news, here are the headlines once again. Britain support Papua to remain within the unitary state of the Republic of Indonesia and KRI framework. Indonesia promote Islamic finance in World Islamic Economic Forum, WIEF. That was the news.
This is RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta with commentary, and today's commentary is on consensus in Zimbabwe. Although not acknowledged it as a coup, the Zimbabwean military on Tuesday, November the 14th, sought to bring down President Robert Mugabe. This was triggered by Mugabe's action that dismissed Vice President Emmerson Mnangagwa. The move was done by the president to facilitate the rise of his wife, Grace, to become president. Robert Mugabe, who was the hero who fought for Zimbabwean freedom from England in 1980, prior to independence, Zimbabwe was known as Rhodesia. His struggle brought Mugabe to power as prime minister. In the early years of his leadership, Zimbabwe was a prosperous developing country with abundant agricultural produce. But wrong management, especially in agriculture, makes Zimbabwe no longer a food granary. To divide the land to the blacks, Mugabe imposed an Extreme Land Reform Act, forcing the white people to surrender their land. The adagium that power brings greed proved in Mugabe's case. He began to lose his democratic attitude in the 90s and muzzled his political opponents. No longer satisfied with the post of prime minister, Mugabe changed the constitution and became president. entering the era of the 2000s, until now, Zimbabwe increasingly plunged into economic difficulties with very high inflation. At the age of 93, after 37 years in power, Mugabe finally was willing to compromise and ready to resign. If he refused, the choice to bring Mugabe down is only by forcing him out or impeachment. Mugabe's party ZANU has withdrawn its support. Impeachment will be done immediately if Mugabe resists. The military has also prepared the Vice President Emmerson Mnangagwa as a replacement. But Mugabe's attempt to place his wife Grace as president made a new problem in the country. As a friendly country, Indonesia does not expect bloodshed in the turn of power in Zimbabwe. Mugabe should be willing to pursue a more democratic leadership succession in Zimbabwe. He will still have the honor of being a hero who liberated the country from colonialism. Well, that was commentary today on consensus in Zimbabwe. I'm Anna Trijayakasi, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta.
Today in history. A compilation of several important events happened on this date in the past.
This is RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia with Today in History, a regular segment which brings back people and events from this date in the past as recorded in history. We start from an event of John Fitzgerald Kennedy, was assassinated on November 22, 1960. John F. Kennedy, the 35th President of the United States, was assassinated on Friday, November 22, 1963 at 12:30 p.m. in Dallas, Texas, while riding in a presidential motorcade in Dealey Plaza. Kennedy was riding with his wife Jacqueline, Texas Governor John Connally, and Connally's wife, Nellie, and was fatally shot by former U.S. Marine Lee Harvey Oswald. A 10-month investigation by the Warren Commission from November 1963 to September 1964 concluded that Oswald acted alone in shooting Kennedy and that Jack Ruby also acted alone when he killed Oswald before he could stand trial. Kennedy's death marked the force following that of Lincoln, Garfield, and McKinley, and most recent assassination of an American president. Vice President Lyndon Johnson automatically became president upon Kennedy's death. We now have a look to another event where Margaret Thatcher announced her resignation as the United Kingdom Prime Minister on November 22, 1990. On November 22, 1990, Margaret Thatcher, the longest-serving Prime Minister of the 20th century, announced her resignation from the office after 11 and a half years. The Conservative leader chose to stand down after her cabinet refused to commit their support to her ahead of a second round of leadership elections. Growing party opposition to her stance over Britain's involvement in Europe, a 14-point deficit to Labour in opinion polls, and the resignation of Deputy Prime Minister Geoffrey Howe had left her position in jeopardy. She was challenged for the leadership by the Hope former Defence Secretary Michael Heseltine. Despite being defeated in the first ballot, Heseltine won enough support to force a second vote. Initially, Mrs. Thatcher said she would fight on and fight to win, but consultation with her cabinet persuaded her to withdraw. Her Chancellor John Major and Foreign Secretary Douglas Hurd would go on to face Michael Heseltine in the second ballot, Major eventually winning the contest. To conclude today's edition of Today in History, let's take a look at an event which occurred on November 22, 2005. Angela Merkel was installed as the first woman Chancellor of Germany. Angela Dorothee Merkel
was a German politician serving as Chancellor of Germany since November 22, 2005, and leader of the Center-Right Christian Democratic Union, CDU, since 2000. Merkel was widely described as the de facto leader of the European Union, the most powerful woman in the world, and the leader of the free world. Angela Merkel was born in Hamburg, in then West Germany, and moved to East Germany as an infant. She obtained a doctorate in quantum chemistry in 1986 and worked as a research scientist until 1989. Merkel entered politics in the wake of revolutions of 1989 and briefly served as a deputy spokesperson for the first democratically elected East German government in 1990. Following German reunification in 1990, Merkel was elected to be Bundestag and has been re-elected ever since. Angela Merkel became the second woman in her position as chairman of the G8 after Margaret Thatcher. Listener, that was Today in History.
Today in History, a compilation of several important events happened on this date in the past.
Focus, daily news and events.
Hello listener, welcome to Void Green. Today we feature the title about LIPI launching Coral Reef Health Index. Indonesian Institute of Sciences LIPI, through the Center for Oceanographic Research, launched Indonesia's Coral Reef Health Index. This index becomes an important standard for managing coral reefs owned by Indonesia, the largest archipelagic country in the world. LIPI head officer Bambang Subianto in Jakarta on Monday, November 20, said, through this index, it can be ascertained whether the coral reef ecosystem in Indonesia is healthy or not. Only a few countries in the world, including Indonesia, already have a coral reef health index. He explained, Indonesia's coral reef health index is compiled based on data and experience of LIPI for many years in the field of coral reef research and monitoring in some part of Indonesian waters. Meanwhile, Head of Research Center for Oceanography of Indonesian Institute of Sciences, Dirhamsyah, said, the index is based on data collected intensively by the Center for Oceanographic Research since more than 20 years ago. The Rehabilitation and Coral Reefs Management Program began in 1999. In 2017, LIPI is entrusted to continue the Phase 3 of the Rehabilitation and Coral Reef Management Program, which will end until December 2020. The program will be more characterized by institutional capacity building activities in the field of research and monitoring of coastal ecosystems such as coral reefs, seagrass, and mangroves, as well as data and information management capacity both nationally and regionally. The program is funded by the World Bank and the Global Environment Facility. Dirhamsyah also said, the result achieved from the Coral Reef Rehabilitation and Management Program from Phase 1 to Phase 3 currently being utilized by stakeholders. The utilization, among others, to update data and information on the health condition of coral reefs and seagrasses throughout the Indonesian waters conducted every year. In addition to the launch of the Indonesian Coral Reef Index, the launch of a range of the research products of Indonesian Oceanographic Research Institute was also completed with the launch of three books entitled Mangrove in Indonesia, Absorbing Carbon, and Five LIPI Decades in Jakarta Bay. The books written by researchers of the Center for Oceanographic Research LIPI is the result of research conducted by LIPI for the last few decades. Another important achievement that will be part of this activity is the recognition of LIPI Oceanographic Research Center as a professional certification institution that is authorized to certify the competence of the assessment team of coral reef condition and other related ecosystem from rehabilitation and coral reef management program. The handover of license certificate of professional certification institution of Oceanographic Research Center of LIPI, conducted by chairman of the National Agency for Professional Certification, to the head of LIPI. Listener, that was Voy Green. RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia, with news in brief. British Ambassador to Indonesia Muazzam Malik has expressed support to Papua Province to remain within the framework of the unitary state of the Republic of Indonesia, NKRI. Muazzam Malik remarked in a special interview with Antara News Agency on Tuesday in Jakarta that the policy of the British government is very clear, that the British people support the unity of Indonesia and Papua is absolutely a part of the NKRI, so there is no debate of it. The 13th World Islamic Economic Forum on Tuesday at the Borneo Convention Center, Kuching, Sarawak, Malaysia, produced 16 Memorandum of Understanding worth around $2.5 billion. The value has made the event with 2,500 participants, including the world leaders and industry players, became one of the largest in the history. Climate change has been an international issue that must be addressed continuously. It can give effect for the damage of environmental structure, which creates bad effect for social life of human beings, including in Indonesia. Indonesian Industry Ministry is confident that the furniture and crafts sectors can grow and expand in the next 2 years. The ministry is even targeting an export value of $2 billion next year. Malaysia plans to import chickens and ducks from Indonesia following a visit by Indonesian delegates. Animal Forum Board Secretary General Adi Zulkarnain told reporters in Jakarta that a trade mission by the Agriculture Ministry to Malaysia on Monday in Putrajaya, Malaysia, offered to sell Malaysia livestock, including chickens and ducks from micro, small and medium-sized farms in Indonesia. The Volcanology and Geological Disaster Mitigation Agency on Tuesday report that Mount Agung in Karangasem, Bali erupted at 17:15 Central Indonesia time. The National Disaster Mitigation Agency said that the blast at Mount Agung was a phreatic eruption due or steam blast eruption. Low-cost airline Air Asia is opening two international routes from Singapore to Medan and Padang, respectively. The new round-trip flights will be available on February 9, 2018. Air Asia Indonesia Commercial Director Rifai Tabri recently told that he is interested in opening new routes in Tourism Ministry's 10 priority destinations. Listener, that was News in Brief.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Let's listen to various information of Indonesian arts and culture in a daily segment of Indonesian Wonder.
Hello listeners, welcome to Indonesian Wonder, a daily segment featuring tourism, culinary arts, fine arts and culture from various regions across Indonesia. In today's edition, we will invite you to visit Central Java Province. Stay tuned. Listeners, Central Java Province is one of provinces which has beautiful panorama.
Today, there are many natural tourism objects which are well known, but there are many interesting tourism destinations which are hidden and not less interesting. In today's edition, we will discuss one of tourism destinations in Central Java, namely Tempur Village. Listeners, location of Tempur Village is very hidden. It is because location of the village is at the middle of a row of seven small mountains, including Mount Muria. Because the village is hidden, so no wonder if it is difficult to find signal of internet. If you like to enjoy holiday without interference from outsiders, this tourist village is suitable for you to choose. Listeners, Tempur Tourism Village is tourism destination which is quite complete. Since entering the village, you will be presented by very beautiful scenery. At this place, there is treasuring fields which is split by flow of rocky Ombo River. The place is so exotic and becomes one of favorite spots of tourists for selfie. Beside that, if tourists like climbing at the village, there are two temples on hill, namely Bubrah and Angin Temple. The temples are on the same path with a distance of about 2 hours by foot from the entrance gate. The road to this temple will not make you tired because you will pass the beautiful scenery of coffee plantation. The fragrant coffee from this coffee plantation makes you relax during the trip. The first trip you will arrive at Bubrah Temple. After that, continue to climb about 30 minutes longer, then you will arrive at Angin Temple. Listeners, Tempur Tourism Village is located at Keling Sub-District, Jepara Regency, Central Java Province. Distance of the village from Jepara City is around 50 kilometers. This tourism object is also completed with sporting facilities. Besides restroom, the place also provides a place of worship for Muslims, which has shaped like a sweet little hut. For tourists who like selfie, this destination provides beautiful spot, namely viewing posts on high hill, which presents beautiful and exotic scenery of Jepara. Listeners, that was Indonesian Wonder for today. Thank you for listening and sampai jumpa.
Speak Bahasa Indonesia easily and correctly. We present to you Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia.
This is RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta with Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia, a lesson in Bahasa Indonesia or the Indonesian language on the radio, which introduces some Indonesian vocabulary and guides you to use them in a conversation. Today's topic is hobi olahraga, or in English, sports hobby. Stay tuned. First, I'll introduce some Indonesian vocabulary and idioms related to the topic today. and I'll say each word slowly and twice. You can follow after me. Olahraga. Olahraga in English, sport. Suka. Suka in English, to like. Setiap pagi. Setiap pagi in English, every morning. Jogging. Jogging in English, jogging. Agar. Agar in English, in order. Sehat. Sehat in English, healthy. Berenang. Berenang in English, swimming. Main basket. Main basket in English, to play basket. Hobi. Hobi in English, hobby. Sepeda. Sepeda in English, bicycle. Sibuk. Sibuk in English, busy. Bulu tangkis. Bulu tangkis in English, badminton. Punya banyak waktu. Punya banyak waktu in English, to have much time. Main bola. Main bola in English, to play football. Teman-teman. Teman-teman in English, friends. Well, next is a conversation about hobby olahraga, or in English, sport hobby. As usual, I'll say every sentence slowly, twice, and you can follow after me. The conversation is between Robby and Andy at the airport. Robby, kamu suka berolahraga, Andy? Kamu suka berolahraga, Andy? In English, do you like sport? Andy, ya, setiap pagi saya jogging agar tetap sehat. Ya, setiap pagi saya jogging agar tetap sehat. In English, yes, I do jogging every morning to stay healthy. Robby, kalau saya suka sekali berenang dan bermain basket. Kalau saya suka sekali berenang dan bermain basket. In English, but I like swimming and playing football. Andy, saya lebih memilih bermain sepeda daripada bermain basket. Saya lebih memilih bermain sepeda daripada bermain basket. In English, I prefer to ride bicycle than playing basket. Robby, kalau tidak sibuk, saya selalu bermain bulu tangkis. Kalau tidak sibuk, saya selalu bermain bulu tangkis. If I'm not busy, I usually play badminton. Andy, saat waktu luang, saya bermain bola bersama teman-teman. Saat waktu luang, saya bermain bola bersama teman-teman. In English, I play football along with my friends in a free time. Robby, oh kalau begitu hobi kita sama, yaitu berolahraga. Oh kalau begitu hobi kita sama, yaitu berolahraga. In English, so, we have similar hobby, doing sport. Listener, that was Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia, a lesson in Bahasa Indonesia or the Indonesian language on the radio. See you next week with other interesting topics. Sampai jumpa.
Music Corner, presenting various kinds of Indonesian music and songs from the Voice of Indonesia.
Hello listeners of RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia, wherever you are. Welcome back to Music Corner, a musical segment which introduces you to Indonesian music, either traditional or modern one. In today's edition, we will present some songs from Dewik. To initiate it, let's listen to the first song entitled Lebih Darimu by Dewik. Happy listening.
Andai aku mampu membalasmu semua perbuatanmu itu, pasti dari dulu tak akan ku rasa pahit yang ku terima. Aku memilihmu jadi kekasihku, tapi yang terjadi kau sakiti aku. Dunia sedang tak bersahabat, ingin ku bawa hancur bersamaku. Dunia sedang tak bersahabat, akan ku dapat lebih darimu, lebih darimu. Andai aku mampu mengulangnya saat-saat kau bersama. Pasti aku tahu di mana salahku, bukan seperti ini. Aku memilihmu jadi kekasihku, tapi yang terjadi kau sakiti aku. Dunia sahabat, ingin ku bawa hancur bersamaku. Dunia sedang tak bersahabat, akan ku dapat lebih darimu, ah, lebih darimu.
Song entitled Lebih Darimu by Devik. Usually the singer is famous due to a good vocal quality, but Devik is different. Even though she has came with various albums, her name is not as popular as the songs she composed. In addition to singing, Devik is diligent to create large number of songs to various Indonesian top singers. For example, Bukan Permainan by Gita Gutawa, 50 Tahun Lagi by Warna, and Sunny, which was popularized by Bunga Citra Lestari. There are also many singers who increasingly famous thanks to Devik's work, such as Rio Febrian, Audi, and Pinkan Mambo. Well, listener, let's listen to the next song entitled Kok Gitu Sih. Happy listening.
Ada satu hal yang tidak kusukai dari kamu dan paling sering kau ulangi. Kadang-kadang bikin ku ill feel. kadang-kadang bikin ku ilfeel.
Tiap hari terus hanya mendengar kau mengeluh dan mengeluh. Kadang-kadang bikin ku ilfeel. Kadang-kadang bikin ku ilfeel. Ku hanya beritahu, tapi terjadi lagi.
Kok gitu sih? Loh kok marah? Jangan gitu sayang. Jangan gitu sayang.
Apa kamu bisa lebih rileks saja daripada kamu mengeluh dan mengeluh?
Tenang saja, tenang. Aku masih dengan kamu.
Tiap hari aku, tiap hari terus hanya mendengar kau mengeluh dan mengeluh. Kadang-kadang bikin ku ill feel. Kadang-kadang bikin ku ill feel.
Ku hanya
listener, you've just listened to the song Kok Gitu Sih by Dewiq featuring Indra Bekti. Although she composed many songs for the Indonesian singers, Dewiq only have 4 albums, namely Week in 1996, Apa Adanya in 1999, Hanya Manusia Biasa in 2001, and Siapa Dewiq, The Hitsmaker in 2008. Unlike the previous 3 albums, the first album entitled Siapa Dewiq, The Hitsmaker not only contains the songs performed by Dewiq, but also the compilation of Dewiq's songs sung by famous singers who were popular at that time. From Dewiq's first album, there are 2 songs that may be most remembered by Indonesian music lovers, and both are the result of collaboration of Dewiq and Indonesian celebrities. The first is Bete, featuring Ipang, and Kok Gitu Sih featuring Indra Bekti. Although composed by Dewiq, the 2 songs have different nuances. This is because Dewiq has special talent to mastering various types of musical genres. Well, listener, to conclude our segment for today, let's listen to the last 2 songs entitled Bete and Katakan Yang Sebenarnya. Happy listening. Sampai jumpa. Thank you.
Gak boleh begini, gak boleh begitu. Harus apa lagi, harus apa lagi. Kau ngomongnya ini, ku ngomongnya itu. Gak nyambung lagi, gak nyambung lagi. Bete, 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 ah. Bete, bete, ah. Bete, bete, ah. Basi, 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 lo. Lama-lama aku bisa jadi gila. Baby, aku ingin kan putus. Baby, aku tak sanggup lagi denganmu.
Maumu begini, mauku begitu. Gak pernah ketemu, gak pernah ketemu. Kau ngomongnya ini, ku ngomongnya itu. Gak nyambung lagi, gak nyambung lagi.
Bete, 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 ah. Bete, bete, ah. Bete, bete, ah. Basi, 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 lo. Lama-lama aku bisa jadi gila.
Baby, aku
World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Katakan padaku yang sebenarnya kau mau, agar aku bisa melanjutkan hidupku. Perasaanku mengatakan kan ada pisah, tapi mengapa kau menarik ulur hatiku? Jika kau butuh, katakan butuh. Jika kau cinta, katakan cinta. Katakan padaku apa yang harus ku buat, biar kau bahagia dan aku juga bahagia. Perasaanku mengatakan kan ada pisah, tapi mengapa kau menarik ulur hatiku? Cinta, katakan
place, burying my feelings. I'm welcoming an eye into the darkest one. It tells me not to worry, for the time is yet to come for someone to arrive and heal the troubled one. Suddenly the rain falls, showering the desert stone, wash away these tears of yesterday.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You can listen to our broadcast every day on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz and 11785 kHz for English program, or listen to audio on demand at en.voi.co.id. Send your criticism and suggestions to en.voi.co.id, or send your letter to Voice of Indonesia, RRI World Service, Jalan Medan Merdeka Barat, No. 4 and 5, Jakarta, or P.O. Box 1157, Jakarta 10011, Indonesia. And join us on Facebook, Voice of Indonesia, and Twitter, VOI Indonesia.